Say good afternoon to all that are here. If you would, turn your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark in chapter number 14. Gospel according to Mark in chapter number 14. Back when I first started making the effort to speak in front of God's people, I was a little bit more animated, I guess, than I am now. They used to always put me up after lunch. So you know what that means. It's my turn, so stay awake. Now, if you pray that the Lord will come for just a little while and give us some thoughts and liberty while we're before you. I have a subject on my mind I think that we can all relate to some degree. And I think probably as old Baptists we could relate to maybe more than most anybody else. And myself being an old Baptist preacher, a lot of times I load up my young'uns and we set out cross country to somewhere. My wife will ask, well, you know, well, where are you going? I'll say, well, we're going to one place and then we may stop at another place on the way home. So we set out cross country. A lot of times while we're gone, there'll be good old salt of the earth brethren in the church that when we get there, they will constrain us to come and spend the night with them. And if we ever have time and opportunity, we love doing such things. There's at least three, I know, I was looking around a minute ago, there's at least three homes that are here today that we've spent the night in your home before. And what a wonderful privilege it was. But this evening I want to talk not just about those occasions where we, spend some time somewhere else, but I want to talk about the occasion where we're going to get to go. If you look in Mark chapter 14, I want to read just maybe four or five verses here to start with. And if the Lord will be our helper, we'll go to a couple more places. And if the Lord will bless this evening, we'll be able to draw a beautiful picture from God's holy word. In Mark chapter 14, he says in verse number 12, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth for two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Verse 14 says, And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." I want you to understand this evening while we're before you, I would like to talk to you for a little while about the guest chamber of the Lord. He says to set the scene here, it's the first day of unleavened bread. That means it's the first day of this feast that generally lasted for about a week. And here you have the first day of the feast and they're going out to kill the Passover. And they were to take that Passover lamb, and what they were to do with the Passover lamb, I don't want to chase too many rabbits this evening, but what they were to do with the Passover lamb was they were to slay the Passover lamb and drain the blood of the lamb. And they're to keep that lamb until the end of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and that would be the Feast of the Passover. And on that very night, you were supposed to, those the children of Israel, were supposed to eat the Feast of the Passover and observe the Feast of the Passover. And here they come to the Lord saying, Master, where are we going to go and eat the Feast of the Passover? Where are we going to consume it at? And the Lord gives them some very specific instructions about where to go and what to do when you get there. He said to go ye into the city. Now we're not done with that Passover. Hang on to that, okay? He says go ye into the city. And when you get into the city, you're going to find a man that's carrying a pitcher of water. When you see the man carrying a pitcher of water, go into his house, wherever he goes. In this day and time, brethren, that we're talking about here, The folks in Jerusalem were accustomed to having feasts in which many of the folks that lived out in the rural areas would come to town for a little while. And most of the homes that were built in that part of the country in that day, especially in the city, were built and equipped with what you know as a guest chamber or a place to keep company. Anybody got something like that in your home? Nowadays, they're building homes without them. Lord help us as a society, right? Lord help us. All the homes were built with a guest chamber because they knew the folks from the rural areas, they had a custom that you to come once and twice a year to observe one of the feasts in Jerusalem. And the folks that were there in Jerusalem would expect company from folks of their kindred that lived outside of the city. And here the Lord tells these disciples, go into the city, and when you see a man carrying a pitcher of water, go into the same place you see him going in at. And in this day, it would have been the job of the woman of the house to fetch the water. But this house, there must have been something special about it, because I believe you see a servant that's carrying the pitcher of water. And when you go into the same house where you see the servant going that's bearing the pitcher of the water, there's going to be a man who probably has ownership of the house. He's called the good man of the house. When you see the man going in with the pitcher, go in and say to the good man of the house, where is the guest chamber? I want you to understand today, there's something special about the guest chamber of the Lord. Don't ever let anybody fool you and tell you that just every old place down the road is just exactly the same. But brethren, there's something special about a place where the Lord will come and dwell with his disciples. He'll come and sit and eat and sup with them for a little while. I want you to understand, he says, where is the guest chamber? And the Lord tells his disciples, before they ever go, before they ever see the man with the pitcher, before they ever go to the good man of the house, he tells them what they're going to find when they get there. He's a God can do that. He says, go ye, ask him, where is the guest chamber? And he says, where is the guest chamber? And he will show you a large upper room. You know it's not down in the basement, is it? You know it's not some old outbuilding out behind the house, is it? He's going to show you a large upper room. This isn't just some old hole in the wall, just some closet where you throw all the stuff you don't need. It may be what the world thinks it is. But as far as the grace of Almighty God goes, this is a good place for us. I'll promise you this much. I made the choice long ago that if the Lord would keep me in our right mind and keep us healthy, that I wanted to be amongst the old Baptist people. And I wanted to raise my children amongst the old Baptist. Fix and get real, okay? I wanted to raise my children amongst the old Baptist people. There's a lot of stuff I could be doing today. There's a lot of stuff that folks want us to be doing today. But there's nothing more important then raising your children up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Doing your best to try to show them the good paths and the old paths wherein is the good way, and that they may be able to walk in those paths one day after a while. I don't believe in preaching the old Baptist funeral, but I believe that the brightest days for the church of the living God could still be ahead of us today. I know the brightest day is, and that's the day when time's going to be no more. I don't think we should have this fatalistic attitude of we're just going to die out until the Lord comes back. But I think the Lord's given us a good place to be. He set up the church and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. Why would you want to be anywhere else? Well, that's the opposite question. Well, what the world? Well, why would you want to go over there? That's what the world would say. Why would you want to go anywhere else than among your friends? I ran with a lot of boys in high school. You know what? I don't talk to any of them today except for one. He's a good buddy of mine. He owns a tow truck. I always keep friends like that around. Everybody else, especially when you're doing so much traveling, everybody else I just don't even talk to. They either in trouble, their life's made shipwreck, they're in jail, whatever the case may be. Brethren, I love to come where I can dwell with my friends for a little while. Lord said, go into the good man of the house and say, where is the guest chamber? And what he's going to show you that you'll find is he'll show you a large upper room. And when you get to that upper room, there's one thing you're going to notice about the guest chamber when you get there. It's fully furnished. Is that a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we find when we come to the church in this time world today, isn't it? That's what we find, a place that's fully furnished, right? You ever have somebody that comes petitioning for membership and tells you, well, hey, now, there's a lot of things wrong over there. If you let me in, I'll straighten it out. Probably not somebody you need in anyhow. But this guest chamber was fully furnished when they got there. I'm telling you today, when the Lord blessed me to see him high and lifted up and showed me a home in the old Baptist church, I found a large upper room that was fully furnished. And you know, from time to time, the Lord will pass by and he'll rain down manna from heaven and he'll cause you to feast as you have this weekend and at many other times throughout your experience. And he'll cause your cup to run over. And he'll cause those crooked places to be made straight. And he'll cause those valleys to seem like they go away for a little while. And like you're on the mountaintop once again. That's the experience that I get when I'm among the Lord's people in this time world. If you live out in the world like I do, and you go here and you go there, and you hear this and you hear that, you get to longing for a message from home, don't you? You get to longing to hear some good news. There's not any good news. Somebody said this morning, CNN. There's not any good news on that. You ever watched it lately? There ain't no good news. It's all bad. It's not even balanced. It's not the good and the bad. It's just all bad. When you consider the depravity that exists in this world, and if you're in the public school system, if you're in the foster care system, if you run the course of this world and do your best to try to live a life that's exemplary of the scriptures, I want you to understand you'll get your fill of this world awful quick. And you'll be longing for that place called home. He said, show us the guest chamber. And he said, when you get to that guest chamber, he'll show you a large upper room that's fully furnished. I'm glad to know today that we have a large upper room that's fully furnished for God's children to dwell in while they live here below for just a little while. I want you to understand that just as these men went to the guest chamber that night, they went with the earnest expectation that not too many hours from when they got there, they would be dining with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he would be coming to partake of that feast of the Passover with them, and it was going to be a spiritual experience. It was going to be a mountaintop experience. But I want you to understand, as the feast of the Passover rolled around and the Passover lamb was brought in, and they brought in the mixture of oils and herbs and things and began to set out on the table. They thought they were going to eat a Passover that night and they were going to eat the Passover lamb. But brethren, the good thing about this and the wonderful thing about this picture is what they might not have realized at the time was they were observing the Passover. They were observing the feast of the Passover. But the wonderful thing about our Savior is he is our Passover. They were observing a Passover with the Passover. And that same night in the guest chamber. And as the Lord come to eat with them that night, they began to partake of that meal. And they were able to sit down with their Maker, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. They were able to sit with the Prince of Peace for just a little while. I want you to understand that your Savior and mine, Jesus Christ the Lord, has fully furnished the guest chamber with everything we need. When I go into a guest chamber, there's a certain thing I'm looking for. And you can imagine yourself if you stop off at a hotel late at night and you first walk in the room, the first thing you're probably going to do is try to find a light switch somewhere. You're going to try to find some illumination. You're going to try to find some way where you can see your way around. I want you to understand, as we come to the guest chamber of the Lord, he is the light of the world. And the guest chamber is fully furnished because Jesus Christ is our light today. And he gives us light from time to time, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You know, we had at one time, after we got married, we had an old bed frame. I didn't like it very much. Oh, Brother Marty, we had a box springs and the frame of the bed. It stuck out just about that far from where the spring ended. You ever had one like that? If you ever went into the room late at night and tried to find your way to the bed, you'd scuff your ankle. You know what you do? You go to hopping on one foot. It hurt awful bad. You ever done that? You know why that would happen to me? Because I didn't have any light in there. I tried to not turn the light on. Didn't want to wake my wife up. Didn't want to wake the kids up. I tried to go through there in the dark. You know what? I'd stumble. and I'd get scraped up along the way. But you know, in this guest chamber we have today, Jesus Christ is the light. And that's the only light we need. There's going to be no night in heaven. He is the source of everything that's good. He is the S-O-N. But brother, when we're living in this guest chamber, when we're living in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no light of our own. We reflect the light just as the moon does the sun. The church reflects the light of the S-O-N. That's what we're doing here today. You know, when we come to that place in that guest chamber, you could probably tell by looking at me that I don't miss too many suppers. You know, I like to get somewhere where I'm with my friends. I like to get somewhere where some folks are singing and some folks are preaching like they mean it and some folks are praying like they mean it, and the Lord lifts us up to have a good time together, and we can gather around a table after a while and we can sit and break some bread and do some visiting over a meal like that. And every time I go to a guest chamber, one of the key elements of that chamber when we go in is the table that we eat around. I want you to understand there was a table there that day that they ate the feast of the Passover over. But let me also tell you what that table will do. You remember over in the Old Testament, old King David said, "Is there any left of Jonathan's house that I may show kindness to?" Here it is. They said, "David, there's just one little old boy over there, or down at a place called Lodibar, a place of no pasture. His name is Mephibosheth. And he's been lame since his youth. There was a nurse that dropped him while she was running in his infancy, and he can't walk and do for himself." Oh, David said, "Go down there and get that boy." And as some servants of the king went to get the old crippled boy, you remember, he couldn't go nowhere. He was lame, couldn't do nothing for himself. And the king went down there and sent to Lodibar and brought that boy up to the king's palace. Brother, I'm telling you, that's the same shape I was in when the Lord found me. And the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. We were just like Mephibosheth down in Lodibar, a place of no pasture. And the Lord brought us out of that. And when he come to the king's house, he said, "What have I done, King, that an old dog like me would find favor in the sight of the king?" And the king just told him, "It's kindness for your father's sake." I want you to understand that we're blessed for the sake of Jesus Christ today. And the Lord has brought us to the banqueting house. And in the guest chamber that we inhabit today, there's a good banqueting table. And you remember the picture of Mephibosheth being brought up to the king's table. And the king told him, King David said unto the crippled boy that was brought out of Lodibar, he told him, he said, "All the days of your life, you can eat at the king's table. You don't have to be bashful about when you come in or when you go out, because you're welcome in this place. This is my house, and me and your father were good friends." I want you to understand, dear, that the God in heaven loved God the Son, and he accepted his sacrifice on Calvary. Therefore, we're healed today because of what he's done for us. And as good old Mephibosheth comes up to the table, he's sitting around and looking at all of those folks that were in David's house, in David's court in that day. And I want to show you what that table that's in the midst of that guest chamber represents. Oh, Mephibosheth was lame and he couldn't walk from his youth up. But a good thing about that, brethren, is when he's sitting at the table, the table's covering his legs. He looks just like everybody else. When you see him there, you don't know he's crippled, because as you look across the table at him, his legs are hid. His lameness is hid. His inadequacies, if you will, are hid by the table that the Lord's placed, or that the king's placed in front of him, because the Lord's given us a good bounty today. And as we come to the guest chamber of the Lord, and as we come to worship, and as we come to pray, and as we come to lift our voices and sing praises to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I want you to understand that the banqueting house of the Lord and the table that he feeds us around, it'll hide the infirmities of you and I. We don't look at one another today and say, "Well, this one's got this wrong over here, and that one, she ain't no good over there, and this one's got this over here." I want you to understand, we come all knowing, all in one, that we're all poor, weak worms of the dust, and if we're anything, and if we have any hope of heaven, any mortal glory after a while, it's because there was a man named Jesus Christ who loved us before we ever was, that come to this low ground of sin and sorrow, that through his stripes we might be healed. The Bible says he had no fault form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. I want you to understand, he says he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. The dry ground is representative of the virgin womb of Mary, and the root that was to come out of the dry ground of the virgin womb was the Savior Jesus Christ the King. And as he come out, he come just as it was prophesied in the scripture that he would come. And as he was here, he accomplished what he was sent to do. But the good thing about that night, brethren, is it goes all the way back unto the very beginning when we were loved of the Father before the foundation of the world. But in these last times, it was made manifest unto us the gospel of the dear Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand today, we got a good place today that the folks in the Old Testament just never did have. The Hebrew letter in chapter number 11 tell you that these all died in the faith, not having received the promises. When we read about all those patriarchs of old, they all died not having received the promise of the church kingdom or the New Testament that was to come, because the New Testament was in his blood. And Jesus Christ begins to explain unto the disciples this very night while he's eating the Passover with them that the New Testament was in his blood. There's coming a time before long the Lord tells them that I'm not going to be with you anymore. And if I'm not with you anymore, I'm going to go away and the Holy Comforter is going to come, because the New Testament is in my blood. I want you to understand that while a testator liveth, the testament is not enforced. But whereof, if a testament is enforced, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. The good thing, brethren, about this today that we can take home and rejoice in is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and in doing so ushered in a new and better covenant. The New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news to me today, isn't it, you? I want you to understand, when we go someplace, we go stay in a guest chamber. Last fall, we went down and stayed with Brother Wayne, night before the Ichikani Association. Last year, we went and stayed with Brother Ray after the Friday night of the Little River Association. You remember that? I want you to know that when they invited us home, it was only to stay for a little while. It wasn't to stay forever. You imagine if they invited me to spend the night and I was still there next week? What would they think of me? They'd either tell me to get out or let me have it move out themselves. I don't know. But the good thing about a guest chamber is you don't stay there forever. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The Lord's give us a guest chamber to live in while we're here. And while we're here, I want to live as good as I can. That means being with God's people and feeling the presence of the Lord as often and as early as possible. But the good thing, no matter how nice the hotel was that you stayed in, you can think of the best vacation you ever took, the best cruise you ever took, the best camping trip you ever went. No matter how nice and wonderful the accommodations were, at some point, didn't you want to go home? At some point, just wanted to get back home. Brother, the good news for us today is the Lord's give us a wonderful guest chamber down here. But we're only passing through. We're not going to get to stay here forever. We don't have to stay here forever. One of these days, the guest chamber, one of these days, that'll go by the wayside. And we'll get to be in heaven everlasting with him. And that forevermore. There's no better news I could tell you than that. This guest chamber they were in during that day, all of that chamber could not be exposed. Because even in the temple, way back in the wilderness, there was a place called the holiest of all. Now remember, as a Hebrew, you could go into the temple in that first part. But you could not go into the second part. You couldn't go into the holiest of all, where there dwelled the ark, where there dwelled its three contents, where there dwelled the mercy seat overlaid with gold, sprinkled with blood, and above it the cherubims. You couldn't go in there. Only the high priest could go in. How often? Once a year. What did he have to take with him? You remember? He couldn't go in without blood. He had to have blood. He had to have the blood of that sacrificial lamb. And he could only go in one time a year. And when he went in once a year, he had to give sacrifice and sprinkle the blood upon that mercy seat. I want you to understand, take this with you this evening. The sprinkling of blood teaches a particular redemption. Not the shed, the spilling. The sprinkling teaches particular redemption. The priest was supposed to go in and make sacrifice just like that. Because that veil, it was set, covered that room. You couldn't go around that veil. You couldn't go through it. It didn't have an opening like your curtains at home in the living room. It wasn't like that. It was one solid sheet. But the good news is that not too many hours after this feast of the Passover, they were eating a lamb with the lamb. You remember, A is general, the is specific. They were eating a lamb with the lamb. And the veil of that temple that stood before the entrance of the holiest of all, you could not go in save the high priest once per year to make sacrifice. But the good picture here is that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Do you remember Israel of old? They always had a high priest. They had to get this high priest. No, Brother Randall, he was afflicted with sin and he'd die. Then they'd get him another. And then they get him another one. And he died and they get him another one. And he died and they get him another one. You see how that old high priest thing went? They only had one at a time. They could only have one at a time. And that old high priest would make laws and he would make rules and regulations. But at some point that man would die and another guy would take his place. The glorious thing about what we have and the sacrifice that was made for us is Jesus Christ is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, prophet, priest, and king. Not just a prophet, not just a priest, not just a king, but he's three in one, just like our God. He come to this low ground of sin and sorrow. He was not a priest, he was the priest. He was the high priest and our high priest. And he went in one time. Do you remember how many times the Lord went to Calvary? One. He just went one time. Does he have to go again? If you go home today and do something you shouldn't, or you go home today and say something you shouldn't, and you commit a sin and you do this, that, and the other, that doesn't mean the Lord has to come and do it all over again, because what he paid for the first time perfected forever them that are sanctified. Just one time. Now remember, the high priest had to go beyond the veil once a year. And the children of Israel were not permitted to see the sacrifice being made. Let me show you something here. We'll whip this up in just a minute. Sit down. Now, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And as he went up that hill and hung suspended between the heavens and the earth, what happened to the light? It just went away. For 3 hours, darkness over the face of the earth from noon to 3 o'clock. Just like when the high priest went in beyond the veil, the people were not permitted to see the sacrifice being made for their sins on behalf of the high priest. That's where the Lord comes in. And I want you to understand that it was at that day and at that moment when the Lord cried out unto the Lord, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." You'll find in Matthew chapter 27, chapter 20, and you'll find it throughout the various accounts of the gospel, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. You know what that means in 2015? Torn in two. It just split. From the top to the bottom. It wasn't, you know, draped open like you might do a living room curtain from the bottom to the bottom. It was split from the top under the bottom. It just fell apart. Do you know what that did for you and I? Do you know what's so much better about the New Testament than the old? It's because they had a veil. And they could not go into that holiest of all. They couldn't go into that place. Never was permitted. The general public never was permitted. Only the high priest. But our high priest, when he came and made a sacrifice on Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And if you'll read the account in Matthew, it said that it was so powerful at that time that above 500 graves opened up and folks just walked out of those and back into town where they come from. That takes some resurrecting power, doesn't it? You talk about the life-giving voice of the Son of God. There it was right there on display for everyone to see. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And as we live in the guest chamber of the Lord today, as we live in the New Testament church, what we have access to is the holiest of all, because the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest during the times of the Old Testament, as the book of Hebrews tell us. But in these last times, they're made manifest unto us. We can come as an assembly of the Lord today, and we can come and pray, and we can come and sing, and we can come and sit under the sound of the gospel, and there's no better place to take your children, there's no better place to take yourself than to sit under the sound of the preaching of the gospel. The radio just don't cut it. TV just don't cut it. The iPods, they just don't cut it. When you can sit together with your brethren, we can truly say, as the writer of Ephesians, he's caused us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, can't we? It's a good place, and we have full access to the holiest of all, and we can call upon the name of the Lord, and Jesus Christ will make intercession for us daily with groanings that cannot be uttered. We have full access today, whereas that hasn't always been the case, because of the sacrifice of the Lamb and our Passover, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And whatever that temple meant to those folks in that day, that meant they had full access to it all. Today, as we come to the guest chamber of the Lord, I want you to understand it's a large upper room and it's fully furnished. The Lord's give us everything that we need. The Lord's give us everything that'll carry us through this life. He's give us all. He's give us light. He's give us manna from heaven. He's fed our souls from time to time. He's give us the natural blessings that it takes to sustain a natural life. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I encourage you today to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all that you do. Atlanta, Georgia is just right down the road. You can go down there and buy any kind of drugs you want to, I'd say. But it would pay you to do well to find this place up here in the hills where the Lord has made the bitter waters of this world sweet, and you make camp for just a little while. While we're blessed to live here below with one another. God bless you is our prayer.